When did the federal government start selling flood insurance policies?
Well, so just to give a quick history lesson here, there were a number of major floods along the Mississippi River in the early part of the last century, including a great flood of 1927, that all sort of caught the nation's attention. So people realized, you know, okay, this isn't just a local problem. This is something we as a country have to deal with. So you had this growing awareness. At the same time, the mass media were starting to give more coverage to these types of events. And the straw that finally broke the camel's back was when Hurricane Betsy hit New Orleans in 1965. It caused over $1 billion in damage. And there was also this growing awareness around that time that the government's response to storms and floods can't just be to throw money at the problem after the fact, or, you know, simply try to reduce the risk with structural measures like dikes and dams. So the Army Corps began providing technical assistance to communities to control development in flood-prone areas. And then in 1968, Congress created the National Flood Insurance Program to set minimum nationwide standards and provide a safety net for people living in vulnerable areas. Part of the reason the NFIP was created was because many private insurance companies had simply stopped offering flood insurance after a series of disasters made it too expensive for them. There was this problem of adverse selection where, you know, the only people, the people who were most at risk purchased coverage, which, you know, ultimately made it unsustainable when it came time for companies to issue payouts. So today, while totally private flood insurance is still available through a handful of companies like Lloyd's of London, the vast majority of policies in the U.S. nowadays are through the NFIP. And that said, I should explain the way it works is it's kind of unique. Private insurance companies are still responsible for the daily operation of the program in most cases. So, you know, you'd purchase your flood insurance policy through like Allstate or Selective, for example. But that policy is actually backed by the federal government, which is ultimately responsible for all payouts.
Is this flood insurance, is it optional for homeowners?
A simple answer, if you have a federally backed mortgage and you live in what's called a special flood hazard area, as documented on one of these FEMA maps, then yes, you're required to purchase flood insurance. On the other hand, if you own your home outright, there's no obligation for you to have flood insurance, but you know it would certainly behoove you to do so, just like you should always have homeowner's insurance. Otherwise, there's nothing to protect you if a disaster were to strike.
In 2012, believing the National Flood Insurance Program could go broke, Congress made some changes to make the program more self-sustaining. What were some of the changes?
Well, the National Flood Insurance Program is currently about $24 billion in debt, largely as a result of payouts from Hurricane Katrina. So Congress passed the Bigger Waters Flood Insurance Reform Act of 2012 to make a bunch of these changes to try to put it back on more secure financial footing. Among those changes, flood insurance premiums for some homeowners who don't elevate or take other precautions to protect their homes could increase dramatically. So, you know, the rates they pay will more accurately reflect their risks. Many discounts and subsidies policyholders received in the past will now be eliminated, and low grandfathered rates some people have been paying will be phased out over the next 5 years. Now, to be clear, these updates had actually been signed into law several months prior to Sandy, and I think there's this common misperception that all these new rules are going into effect as a result of the storm, but they were already due to happen. It's just a coincidence that Sandy happened around the same time.
If national taxpayers subsidized these policies before, and now homeowners will have to pay the full cost, can you give me an example of how much a homeowner pays for flood insurance and how much they'll have to pay under the new rates?
Sure. Well, federal flood insurance has traditionally been pretty reasonable for many homeowners, and a lot of people were paying somewhere in the $500 to $600 range. But now we're hearing anecdotes of some people being told by insurance companies that those rates could go up 1,000% or more. According to one online analysis I saw, for someone who has, you know, for example, a maximum, you know, $250,000 flood insurance policy with $100,000 contents coverage, and if they live in the V zone, which is the most vulnerable coastal area on the FEMA flood maps, which is prone to 3-foot waves during storms. If that person were to elevate just to comply with the new flood height restrictions, they'd be paying about $8,600 a year. Now, if they were to elevate 3 feet above the requirements, then their premium would drop to about $2,900. But if they were 3 feet below, they'd pay over $20,000 annually. So, you know, the financial incentives are definitely there for people to take necessary precautions, or, you know, depending on how you look at it, you might see this as an attempt to eventually encourage people to move away from some of these most vulnerable areas.
Now, I read that one of the architects of the of changing the National Flood Insurance Program to pay for itself, Maxine Waters, is having second thoughts about what she did. What are her concerns now?
That's right. Congressman Waters, whose name is actually on this very law we're talking about, she now says she's outraged by the insurance premium increases many homeowners are facing, and that she never intended for that to occur. And she said that lawmakers like herself never envisioned that it would cause the kind of harm and heartache that might occur. So she's now pushing to postpone the rate changes for 3 years while an affordability study is conducted. And it's not just Maxine Waters. These changes received pretty widespread bipartisan support at the time they went through Congress. But now, as a result of Sandy, you know, the impact is becoming real for lots of homeowners, and people are up in arms. Groups like Stop FEMA Now, for example, have been pretty vocal in calling for the act to be repealed. And some political leaders have introduced legislation to tone down the changes or phase them in more slowly so the shock to policyholders isn't as great. But you know, at the same time, many fiscally conservative members of Congress, as well as environmentalists and groups like the Union of Concerned Scientists, oppose delaying implementation. They say that Sandy highlighted the need for radical changes and that artificially low flood insurance premiums fail to communicate the true risk of coastal development, and that will ultimately put more people and property in harm's way if things stay the way they are.
Scott Gurian, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Alan.